You're listening to the OneofUs.net podcast network. OneofUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneofUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Yeah, the only villains in this movie are the directors.
Jeez.
Womp womp.
I mean, there's a difference between being a villain and being charmingly not stellar at your job.
I don't know. I feel like the director saw this premise and just went, yeah, that's good. Like, they'd do anything, you know. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself here because I got a lot of thoughts on this movie. And this is the movie Villains. This is directed by Dan Burke and Robert Olson, who they haven't really done a whole lot before this movie. Just pretty much only straight to video or festival hit kind of horror films. And I feel like this is that kind of movie because it did premiere at South by Southwest this year. And, well, Davey, since you haven't been here for a while, which also, hey Davey, how you doing?
You?
I think we're all feeling a little different right now. Also, man. Bradley, how are you feeling?
I'm good. I feel good on Friday mornings. The weekend's about to start, guys. Yay!
Yay! Well, Davey, since you haven't been here for a while, why don't you try to explain the premise of this movie? What's it about?
So, Bill Skarsgård and Micah Monroe play two low-level criminals who...
Like very low-level.
Yeah, like, they don't like being criminals, but they're not good at anything else, so...
And they're barely good at that, too.
Yeah, they're not going to be criminals, but they have a good enough heart that they don't want to, like, kill people. And They rob a gas station to try and get some money so they can go to Florida and be super happy because they've clearly never actually been to Florida. And their car breaks down and they walk to the closest house. And it's this big, beautiful place.
Looks like something kind of like the 1950s, almost.
Yeah, it's very Pleasantville.
Yeah, like the people that lived there probably inherited it, didn't buy it on their own.
Yeah, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. They probably did.
Yeah, and then while they're investigating this house, they're just like, oh, yeah, there's some food here, there's a car here, we can make an escape. And it turns out they see something in the basement that just makes them go, wait a minute. And things only go crazier from there? Question mark.
Yeah, I mean it's not really crazy. The interesting thing for me is that their conscience flares up and they're like, ah, this is bad. We should probably do something about this, but we really don't want to do this because we committed crimes 2 hours ago and we need to leave.
Yeah, it almost feels like it was like happening 15 minutes after they robbed that place that this thing happens. You know?
Yeah, but that is, I know you were not very hot on this movie. I mean, nope. Spoilers for a very obvious opinion that Justin has.
I started off swinging with this review, so.
Yeah, that's true, you did. But the thing that did endear me to this movie is the fact that it wasn't, oh, they go to this house and then they immediately get inundated with bad things happening. They go to this house and they're like, well, we have to stay and we have to try and not let a bad thing happen. All right. Shit. which I think as a core, like, idea is about as interesting as a movie like this could be.
I see, because I feel like the biggest problem with this movie is that it just didn't try hard enough to be more interesting. Because, like you said, the setup is actually kind of interesting. You know, this whole thing about them being criminals, them having their consciences being bugged by this thing they find. And that has the potential to go into some crazy places. But my biggest complaint with this movie is that it's so gosh dang unambitious with its premise. Like, it literally does the bare minimum of suspense or twists or anything else. And honestly, when I say twists, there really aren't a whole lot of twists in this movie. You know?
Not Not really.
It's pretty straightforward when you think about what the premise is. And at some point, like, Lexi and I were watching this. We're just like, we're just waiting for something to happen. Are there vampires? Is there a crazy sex cult? Is there, I don't know, does everything turn into an apocalypse somewhere in the background? It's just, it's fairly straightforward throughout a lot of this film.
Definitely not a mystery.
No, like, and even there's some stuff that are like slightly mysterious kind of thing. Like the biggest mystery here is they encounter two other people who live in this house, being played by Jeffrey Donovan and Kira Sedgwick, which, man, what a casting for this movie. You got It, The Girl From It Follows, Burn Notice, and The Closer all in the same film, which is kind of cool. And I will say this, that probably the only great thing I can say about this movie is that all these actors are giving it 110% in this film. Sometimes they're giving it way more than what's actually written on the page.
Oh, I actually agree with that. I think if Bill Skarsgård didn't play this part with an incredibly expressive face and emotions turned up to 110, this would be a quite boring movie.
I mean, it is a quite boring movie, ask me.
Oh,
they help elevate it a lot. Especially, yeah, Bill Skarsgård and Micah Monroe, where they have to sell so much chemistry between each other that really isn't there to begin with, kind of thing. But
oh, you didn't think so? I thought they loved each other.
The only thing that was there was their acting performance for it. Because the writing itself, it's just, they're just, they're pretty much Nicolas Cage and, what's the girl from Raising Arizona?
Yeah, you got me. I haven't seen that in years.
Yeah, it's been way too long. Sorry. But yeah, it's, they're pretty much the couple from Raising Arizona, it feels like, in that kind of like way of like goofy, incompetent criminal bad guy.
Well, yeah, but you didn't think Cage and that co-host had chemistry either?
Sorry, Holly Hunter. That's what I mean to say.
Holly Hunter's fantastic in that. I thought they had great chemistry.
Yeah, it was just like the actors had to sell so much more than what was being given. Because, again, they're convincing in their performance-wise.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just this movie, like I said, I feel like its biggest issue is just the unambitiousness. Because otherwise, it's fairly straightforward. It's not even all that glossily made. Like, it's competently made for an independent film. I have to imagine this only cost like a couple million bucks, if that.
Oh, sure. For sure. You know, Your arguments always back me into a corner, I gotta say. Like, it never crossed my mind to compare this to one of the Coen brothers' best films.
Well, because
now that I'm doing that, I'm like, well, of course it's not a masterpiece.
No, but I'm saying in terms of tone, because this is clearly supposed to be a comedy thriller. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Like kind of a dark comedy.
Yeah.
And I make that comparison just because, you know, slack-jawed idiot criminals like in Raising Arizona. But it's also this film, maybe this might be a subjective opinion, I don't think it's all that funny. Like, I think I laughed maybe twice in the very beginning of this film.
I don't think it's necessarily, like, it's not laugh out loud funny, but I would be lying if I said that I wasn't at least a little slack-jawed smiling throughout most of it. It's just, it has a little charming, a little bit of charming darkness to it that I found pleasant
the entire time. It's just I felt like this movie had so scattered a tone, especially with the characters, where it's like you got Bill Skarsgård being, you know, total goofball type, where his one line of dialogue is, F that, F this, F that, oh my gosh, oh fudge, you know, kind of thing.
But he is selling that stuff.
Meanwhile, you got Jeffrey Donovan, you got Jeffrey Donovan and Kira Sedgwick being essentially the couple from Pleasantville, like you were saying. It's just like, oh, hello there, son. Oh, am I? I hope you don't mind. We're dealing with this. Why don't you have some dinner with us? Kind of thing.
Yeah, Jeffrey Donovan is the one where I kind of agree with you, because he is actually playing it kind of sinister, where it gives him some definition by comparison, but I can definitely see your complaint with the difference between him and the rest of the cast.
Yeah, because he's like, you know, he's a professional. He's treating it like a professional. But even Kira Sedgwick, I feel like she doesn't know exactly what kind of menacing she's supposed to play. Like, she's supposed to be goofy and funny, but I don't feel like she got the note that it's supposed to be a comedy, per se.
Oh, I think she got the note that it was supposed to be a comedy. She said, okay. So be goofy.
She's like, batshit crazy.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but it's like the way it's written, too. It's just, it feels like there's never a defined tone about why these people are mean, other than just they're crazy, rich, old, white people.
Which, if you want to watch a movie about evil, crazy, old, rich, white people, go see Ready or Not in theaters now.
Please. See, and you made that, you made that comparison. Good. Yeah, you made that comparison. I feel like that's much more like that's the movie this movie so desperately wants to be. And yeah. I just don't feel like it's there enough. Because even I will say this too, it's like it's not terribly violent, and it didn't need to be violent to be a good movie, I would say, for this one. It just felt like more should have happened. Because there's some stuff that happens early in this film that by the time you get to the end, you're just like, oh yeah, that was a thing in this film, wasn't it? Like the thing they stumble upon in the basement, you forget that's a factor in the story by the very end of this.
Yeah, it's one of those movies where I don't disagree with a single thing you're saying.
Good, because I'm right.
Okay, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's not go going around doing crazy things like saying Justin's right about movies.
But you could say it.
I could say a lot of things, Justin. I'm not going to. But the net goal for this movie was, I liked it. And I have nothing to back it up other than, it made me happy to watch it. It's super short. It's like 89 minutes.
Yeah, it's very, very quick watch.
What you gonna do, you know?
I could do a lot of stuff with that hour and a half, but Bradley, you've been pretty quiet. Like, what's some thoughts you had about this?
I liked it. I thought it was funny. I find incompetence hilarious, and I don't find it hilarious from my ivory tower kind of way. I find it hilarious in my, oh, hey, yeah, that's the kind of dumb shit I would be doing if I was freaked out and afraid and trapped. So I thought they all sold it really well. I agree with you on Kira Sedgwick, kind of. Because the type of crazy she was, it seems like she was almost ad-libbing everything around her. You know what I mean? Like, she had a sexual incompetency issues. She had the weird attachment to certain inanimate object issues. Like, any kind of crazy you can think of, I think she was trying to push it.
Voices and stuff like that.
Yeah, and like, maybe none of that was even in the script. And maybe she was just, you know, throwing paint at the wall. Since I don't feel like swearing and seeing what would stick. But
yeah.
She's so good at it, though. You didn't think that was fun?
No, because, again, the problem is it's not menacing or funny in a lot of cases. Like, I felt... Well, and, like, in terms of everybody being good in this movie, I felt she was kind of the weak link in this film. And I just, again, I can't fully blame her because I feel like she's just struggling with the material. But...
Well, I will say, Jeffrey Donovan as George... Very menacing. That guy was actually pretty scary.
But I wish they gave him more scenes to be menacing. Because he is menacing. He can really dial it up. It's just so little happens in this movie that he only gets maybe one or two scenes to actually be legitimately scary at points.
I did kind of like that, though. I kind of like that for so long in the movie, he's like, I'm just a nice little friend to fly. I can't do nothing to nobody. And you see that little thing in the back of his eyes where you're like, oh, you're... super crazy. And then it gives it enough time that when he goes super crazy, it feels nice as an audience member. Not surprising or terribly interesting, but it's nice.
Yeah, I know. Maybe it's just me. I felt like this movie just could have done more. Like, because even this movie also has a tendency to want to do like big dramatic acting sequences, which really feel out of place for a comedy film. Because Michael Monroe gets his giant monologue halfway through the film, and then Jeffrey Donovan gets a couple of giant monologues. And it's like, you know, that's cool and all, but it's really not all that interesting or funny. So it's just kind of killing the tension and the pacing of the film.
Well, I mean, it's a little indie. Does that mean it has to be deep and artistic?
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that was the wrong move to try and go like, oh, now it's time for the actors to do their acting thing. It's like, no, keep the crazy going. Keep it being funny and silly and over the top and scary. And it just never felt like it had a consistent tone to maintain that. Because by the third act, when this movie actually gets to the big climax and stuff, it becomes deadly serious. Like by that point, and I thought that was the wrong move to make.
I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily. I thought it was tense, but I wouldn't say it was deadly serious.
It wasn't funny anymore, and that's the problem. That if it was supposed to be this goofy comedy they kept selling it as, it should have tried to maintain some of the humor up to the very end.
There are a few things that happened in the third act that is some of the goofiest shit I've seen in a few weeks. And
yeah, the ending was funny.
I wouldn't say it was funny, but it was definitely goofy and entertaining.
I just feel like I've seen it better goofy. Movies do that same ending. Also,
100%.
Yeah.
There's oh, nothing okay. here that you haven't seen before, but if you want to see it again...
Yeah, I didn't find it surprising by any means. But it's a silly way to close out a... I thought it was very silly. Maybe unintentionally. Maybe... I don't know if it was unintentional, though, because like you said, they had that stylistic credit sequence, you know?
Oh, jeez.
Kind of let everyone know, hey, we're on the joke too, right?
Well, because that was... bizarre where they have this like MTV music video style end credits where you're just like, okay, that's cool. It doesn't match anything else we've seen in the movie up to this point, but okay.
Yeah, it was weird. Don't know if it worked.
It was okay, thanks for coming out. Yay.
Hope you guys had fun, maybe. Yeah. But I don't know. Like, there's a few other things to say about this. I thought the music choices for this movie were awful throughout almost all of it, where it never felt like it matched the tone or tension throughout it.
I don't remember them.
Exactly. It's such a generic, forgettable, like somebody behind a keyboard plugging in some notes kind of score. Just like... Din, 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 din. And it's just...
Let it be said, unless it's a musical, I generally don't remember the music no matter what. So don't take my not knowing any what you're talking about as an indictment of either quality or lack of quality.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you, it sucked, so. But, you know, and that's the thing, it's just, again, I feel like I'm really angry through this movie. I don't want to be angry, and I'm not fully angry. I think I'm more disappointed than anything. Like, I kept expecting this movie to get better than it would. And again, like I said, Lex and I were just watching, just going, come on, there's got to be something else happening. Like, at least when it comes to movies like Get Out that do very similar kind of, like, dark comedy kind of thing, that one at least had some other twists and turns, as ludicrous as they were, to keep it going like, oh, it's not what you thought it was going in.
Well, yeah, but Get Out's also, like, an incredibly smart and well-crafted, I would maybe argue, masterpiece.
I think you're setting the bar, like, way too high for
this. Well, but again, I'm not saying it has to be that level, but it has to try. And I just feel like, again, this biggest sin of this movie is that it just didn't try. It was so safe and unambitious and so straightforward that it shot itself in the foot on almost every occasion when it could do something clever with what it had. And again, you can make a good movie on a low budget. You know, Michael Monroe was in one of the best indie horror films the last few years with It Follows. And that one was really clever and suspenseful and crazy and even funny at points, you know?
Yeah,
so I don't know. Which is funny, Brad, you and I were talking about it in the Messenger, just like, really the best movie Michael Monroe has done in the last 5 years, because...
I think so.
That's a pretty low bar.
Well, the guest was 2014.
Okay, fair enough.
So...
I forgot that she was in The Guest. That's right.
She was. And the guest is also great. A very good movie.
Yes, you see, and The Guest, I would say, is even better than this one. Because at least that one...
Oh, I would agree with you.
At 100%. The Guest is better than most movies.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is there anything else really to point out or say about this film? Because I've kind of exhausted what I have to say, other than just, I was really let down by this. But...
Aw.
I don't disagree with anything that's been said. Just my conclusion is slightly different. I was smiling. And that's about all I needed from a movie like this.
Okay, Bradley, any other thoughts?
Well, I was one of the few people that actually watched all of Castle Rock with Bill Skarsgård.
Oh, wow.
And he's given absolutely nothing to do in that. And it's boring and it's stupid. And I really shouldn't be shitting all over a TV show in a movie review.
Well, especially one that's got a new season coming out soon.
Yeah, and no one will watch it with me. They already, like, emailed me in advance, do not invite me to watch this.
Bradley cannot come to Castle Rock, sorry.
Ugh. But I like watching Bill Skarsgård rock his craft, so I had a great time with this. I don't think I'll ever watch it again, so I don't want to say you're wrong either. Just,
I mean, you don't have to rewatch a movie all the time to make it good, but if you have no desire to even think about it again.
Oh, yeah, you know, me, it'd be 7 scoops of mint ice cream out of 10 locks on a basement door.
Wow. All right, Davey, what do you think?
I mean, I'm similar. The acting is good. Everything else is less good. It's enjoyable.
All right. Well, what would you say is your final rating?
6 out of 10 times that I did wish that the two leads were instead doing the horror movies that made their career as opposed to this one.
Yeah. You know, I guess I'm gonna be the villain of this review. But
yes,
I really did not like this movie very much at all. I thought it was just, again, it was lazy. And I think in someone else's hands with this exact same premise and these actors, this could have been a great little horror comedy. Like, this could have been really clever, really, really slick, even have a few surprises here and there. As it is, it's just a festival film. You know, it's just a one that you'll see at a festival. It'll boost the, like, it'll raise some awareness that these actors are still around doing good work. And you, like Brad will say, you'll never think about it again.
Yeah.
Like literally the only great thing about this is the actors, because all four of them, especially even scenes where they're together, they're all really, really giving it their all. And, you know, whatever I say about them maybe being inconsistent with their characterizations, I don't blame them. I blame the writing and the directing for them not knowing which note they're supposed to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to give this 4 out of 10 life-saving shots of cocaine.
I mean, that's better than I thought you were going to give it.
Yeah, no, that I gave it 4 for all 4 of the actors involved. But also,
that's fair.
At least somebody watched Wolf of Wall Street before filming this movie with that cocaine stuff.
Yeah, that was so dumb, and it made me giggle the entire time.
Oh, those were like the few moments I laughed in the whole film when those scenes happened. I'm just
they
like,
were like, we're going to do the cocaine. It's going to make us – it's a creative boost, and I'm in college. I know people that think like that.
Yeah, exactly. It was an incompetent guy, like, wallowing in his mediocrity. It's funny.
Well, it just made me think, like, they should have done what the Wolf of Wall Street did with the Popeye music in the background of one of those scenes. Which is just like a...
Dude, that movie is also a masterpiece. You cannot compare DiCaprio at the top of his game. But when it's so obviously ripping off that
movie, you expect it to at least do something different with it.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's necessarily ripping off, but I mean, yeah, it took a few beats from that style of this thing, but literally,
they have the bit where they're doing the same exact thing Leo DiCaprio does in Wolf of Wall Street. I'm not going to say what exactly, but
drugged out DiCaprio is some of the best acting I've ever seen. So everyone go see Wolf of Wall Street, please.
Yeah, watch Wolf of Wall Street. Watch It Follows. Watch The Guest.
Watch Fargo.
Yeah. Don't watch Castle Rock.
And if you've watched all of those, then maybe watch Villains.
I'd rather watch reruns of The Closer.